A Wicked Prince, Chapter 76. It is surprisingly busy in Hebron, the city where David had lived and reigned over the tribe of Judah for 7½ years. The streets are filled with people, and many more are still coming. There is a sound of rejoicing as the people cry aloud, shout, and dance with gladness. What has happened? Listen to what they are shouting. Absalom is king. Absalom is king. So, does Israel have a new king? Did David die? No, David still is alive and lives in Jerusalem. He does not know what is happening in Hebron. But how can that be? That is not permitted, is it? How is it possible to have two kings? Absalom has deceived his father shamefully. With a serious countenance, he came to his father and said, "Father, do you still remember that I lived 3 years with my grandfather? But happily, you are no longer angry with me, and now I would like to give thanks to the Lord for my return. Is it satisfactory to you that I go to Hebron and sacrifice there?" This is a good desire of Absalom, isn't it? He wishes to thank the Lord for returning him to his father. Thus, Absalom does not forget the Lord. That would be good if what Absalom says were true. But he is deceiving his father. He does not want to go to Hebron to sacrifice, but he wishes to go there to become king. Did Absalom know that his brother Solomon would be king in David's place? Probably so, but of that we cannot be sure. However, he will not wait until his father dies. No, he must become king immediately. And for this reason, he goes to Hebron. David gives Absalom his consent, for he answers, "Go in peace, my son." With a false smile upon his face, Absalom leaves the palace to make ready for his journey. Slyly, he sends messengers throughout the entire land. Many people listen to Absalom, and they too go to Hebron. There they call out, "Absalom is king." His friends make him king in his father's place. The Israelites reject David, who was anointed king by the Lord, and chose Absalom, that wicked prince. How unthankful, isn't it? Unthankful and ungodly. Unthankful because David, not Absalom, delivered Israel from all their enemies. Ungodly, because David was the king given by God to the Israelites. A few hours later, a man comes running into the city of Jerusalem. He immediately goes to the palace of the king. "Where is David, the king? I must speak to him immediately," he cries with a trembling, nervous voice. David's servants bring him where he wishes to be. Panting and perspiring, he stands before the king. "O king, I have come from Hebron where a revolt has begun. Your son Absalom has declared himself king. Probably he already is on his way to Jerusalem. I have come to warn you." What dreadful tidings for David! By renewal it is fulfilled. The sword shall not depart from your house. What must he do? Fight? Defend himself? Saddened, he shakes his head. No, that will not do. Probably the inhabitants of Jerusalem will choose Absalom's part. Beside, there would be fighting in the streets of Jerusalem, and many things would be destroyed and laid waste. He has no desire to expose the capital to this calamity. Quickly, he makes a decision. There is nothing else to do but to flee. It must be done in haste, for Absalom already may be near the city. Away, away, flee from Jerusalem. They go, leaving everything behind. David walks first. His wives and children follow. It is a long, mournful procession leaving Jerusalem. This is distress to a great degree. Still, David has friends. Happily, yes. His bodyguards march with him, with stern looks upon their faces. If necessary, they will defend their king. They will fight like lions. Strangers also go along. 600 men from the Philistine city of Gath. Ittai is their leader. "Go, return," David says to them. "No thought of that. We will remain with you, even though it costs us our lives," Ittai answers firmly. Deep sorrow fills David's heart. He must flee from his own son, who seeks to kill him, and this stranger clings to him. He sobs. His wives and children also weep. Yes, all the people weep. A few more men are seen coming. They are two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. They hastily had taken the ark out of the tent, because it also must be taken with them. David is deeply moved when he sees them coming. It makes him feel good that his former friends do not forsake him. But, will he permit this? Who knows what will still happen? Maybe the ark will be destroyed. And oh, if God does not help him, then he will derive no profit from the ark. "I find it very kind of you," he says, "but I rather would have you bring back the ark of the covenant. If the Lord is willing to bless me, I will return to Jerusalem. If he does not, it is well. The Lord do what seemeth good unto him." The king waits a moment. He continues, and his voice is sad. "You remain in Jerusalem to see what is going on. You can let me know by sending me a message." Obediently, both priests return. They promise David to keep him informed of Absalom's actions. David goes on further as quickly as possible, for behind him danger is threatening. Death is lurking. "King," one of the Israelites tell him, "Ahithophel is with Absalom." David frightens. "What?" he anxiously asks. "Is Ahithophel with Absalom?" He lifts his eyes to heaven and prays. "O Lord, help me. Give that they will not do what Ahithophel says, for then it is lost." Who is Ahithophel? Why is David so afraid of him? Children, Ahithophel is a very wise man. He is the grandfather of Bathsheba and Uriah. Formerly, he was one of David's best friends. He gave David counsel or advice. But since the time that David had Uriah slain by the Ammonites, Ahithophel became David's enemy, and he seeks revenge upon the king. Now that he has gone over to Absalom, he will advise Absalom, and David knows that it will be good advice. Therefore, it is very dangerous that Ahithophel is with Absalom. Oh, David shudders when he hears this. God alone can help. The Lord alone can give deliverance. Sighing, he walks on. A man is approaching in the distance. David sees him coming. It is Hushai, also a friend of David and a counselor. Suddenly, an idea enters David's mind. Hushai, you must not stay with me. You must go to Jerusalem. You must try to defeat the plans of Ahithophel. Will you do that for me? He asks and then continues, there are more friends of mine in Jerusalem. Zadok and Abiathar are there. You can trust them. They can help you. Hushai immediately agrees that this plan is good. He hastens to the capital and arrives there about the same time that Absalom does. David flees onward, tired and hungry. Happily, another person comes to meet him. It is Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Ziba has a few donkeys with him. These animals carry a heavy load of bread, raisins, summer fruits, and wine. What are you coming to do? Asks David in astonishment. King, Ziba answers in an exceptionally friendly manner, this bread, summer fruits, and wine are for you and your family. You can use the donkeys to ride upon. You will tire too quickly from walking. But where is Mephibosheth? Inquires David with interest. A false smile comes upon the face of Ziba. Mephibosheth remained in Jerusalem. He hopes that now he will become king, just as his grandfather Saul had been. Ziba, how cruel you are! The words you say are not true. On the contrary, no doubt but that Mephibosheth sent all these gifts. Ah, Mephibosheth gladly would have gone along, but he could not go so quickly. He is a cripple, isn't he? He sends his servant, and he prays the Lord to help David. He entreats the Lord to again return David to Jerusalem. Ziba lies to David. What a pity that the king believes him. So, David says slowly, so, is that the thanks for all my goodness? Ziba, all the vineyards and all the estate of Mephibosheth I give to you. Oh, my lord the king, thank you kindly, Ziba answers hypocritically. He goes away, that liar, that deceiver. He rubs his hands together with joy. How fine this has turned out for him. He is rich, very rich. He is no longer a servant, but a rich farmer. Oh, how wonderful! Another man is walking nearby. He is not a friend of David, but an enemy. He stoops to pick up some stones and throws them at the king. Hearken, for he is also shouting something. Come out! Come out, thou man of Belial! Come out, thou man of blood, thou murderer! Who is this fellow? He is Shimei, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, what a coward! Now that the king is fleeing, he dares to use such abusive language. Now he dares to throw stones. He would not dare do such a thing before. He also curses David. One of David's friends cannot listen to this any longer. King, said he, with an angry voice, do you permit that? Let me kill that curser. Let me slay that mocker. This friend is Abishai, a brother of Joab and a nephew of David. But David shook his head and said sadly, no, let him call me names. Let him curse me. David bows his head. He thinks, it is really true. I am a murderer, because I caused Uriah to be slain. He allows Shimei to rave and use such abusive language. Shimei walks along with them for some distance, but he is careful not to come too close to David. He does not dare. The coward. In the meantime, Absalom and his army arrive in Jerusalem. David is no longer there. David has fled. What must Absalom do now? He does not know. Therefore he calls Ahithophel. Give me advice. What must I do? He asks. Immediately Ahithophel answers, Do you know what you must do? Give me 12,000 soldiers, and I will pursue David. Your father is still fleeing and cannot defend himself. I will take him by surprise and kill him. The war will be over at once, and you automatically will become king. Absalom nods his head. That advice satisfies him. Absalom agrees that it is good for David, his father, to be slain. Thus, Absalom is actually a murderer of his own father. If this had taken place, children, David would have lost the battle, because the advice of Ahithophel was good for Absalom, but dangerous for David. However, Hushai, the friend of David, is also in the city. Wait, Absalom said, let me also ask the advice of Hushai. He sends for Hushai to come to him. Hushai, he said, Ahithophel has advised me to let him pursue David immediately, and he will slay David only. Must I do as he said, or do you advise me to do something else? Hushai frightens exceedingly when he hears this. That plan must not be carried out, because David certainly would be killed. In deep thought, he looks straight ahead. At last, he said, Ahithophel is a wise man, and his advice is usually good, but this time he is wrong. No, king, that you must not do. You can well understand that your father and his friends are furious. They shall defend themselves like lions, and if you are the loser, everything is lost. I advise something else. First, gather the entire army, then go after your father with all of the Israelites. You must go with them, and no doubt you will be the winner. That was foolish advice for Absalom, boys and girls. By following this advice, David would have time to flee, and you can surely understand that David still had many friends who would come to David to help him. If Absalom would do this, his efforts are defeated already. Hushai purposely gave the wrong advice in order to bring the plans of Ahithophel into confusion. And what does Absalom do? You are right, Hushai, Absalom decided. I shall do what you have said, because your plan is better than Ahithophel's. The Lord directed this, because Absalom was not allowed to be the winner. God would take care of that. David shall be punished for his sins, but the Lord will not cast him away. When Ahithophel hears that his advice is not followed, he thinks, Now everything is lost. David will return, because Absalom will never win. And then he does something dreadful. He goes to his home and hangs himself. He commits suicide. Will you open the gate so I can get some water? A small girl says to some of Absalom's soldiers who are guarding the gate. They permit her, and she goes through. Quietly, she walks to the well, which is a short distance outside the city. When she arrives at the well, two boys walk to meet her. they have been hiding there. She stands for a short time talking with them. Who are those boys? The one is Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The other is Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. Zadok and Abiathar were the two priests who had remained in Jerusalem, weren't they? Both of their sons purposely have hidden themselves outside Jerusalem. This servant girl, who pretended to fetch water, has a message from Hushai for those boys. Ahimaaz and Jonathan must go to David as quickly as possible and tell him that he must not rest, but to go over Jordan immediately, because Hushai does not know definitely whether or not his advice shall be followed by Absalom. As soon as this message was delivered by this girl to Ahimaaz and Jonathan, they go running on their way. However, all is seen by the watchmen upon the wall, and they tell Absalom, "Pursue them immediately, because they are a pair of messengers for David," he orders. The gate opens, and a few fast runners hasten out of the city. These soldiers of Absalom are running faster than Ahimaaz and Jonathan. It will not be very long before they will catch them. But in the village of Bahurim, near Jerusalem, these two boys notice a well which is dry. They jump into it. A woman sees this. She understands immediately what is happening. She quickly takes a cloth, spreads this over the well, and spreads ground corn on it. That is good. No one can see that two boys are hiding under this covering. Shortly thereafter, the soldiers of Absalom come running through the village. "Did you see two young men running past here?" they ask this woman, gasping for their breath. "Yes," she answers, "they have gone over this brook of water." Absalom's soldiers immediately go over this brook, look all around for them, but they do not find them. No, of course they find no one, because the woman purposely sent them the wrong way. What she said was not true. When everything is again safe, Ahimaaz and Jonathan continue on their way. They come to David and deliver the message to him. He instantly gives orders to continue further. That night, they go over Jordan. The next morning, at the break of day, everyone is on the other side Jordan. So David came to Mahanaim, and there he is safe for the present.